Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a show that's been going on over 20 years now, a faith and values program trying to intersect weekly faith and values with different issues going on locally and globally. It's always a pleasure doing the program. Thank you for listening on a weekly basis. And many thanks to my sponsors, Ruth Chris Steakhouse and also Perry's Fine Jewelry, for their support of this program. Well, we continue to walk through this COVID-19 crisis, and what I've been doing the last several weeks is playing off a book that I recently wrote and amazingly was just released this past week entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety. It's a book I decided to write 2 years ago because at that point, anxiety was the major negative emotion that people were experiencing today. So I felt like I needed to write it 2 years ago, not knowing that it would be released right in the middle of the biggest anxiety-producing crisis our nation and the world may have ever known, especially in the last decade or so. So it's been a good exercise for me to go through that information with all of you weekly and to try to help you focus your minds on the whole idea of faith and hope, believing that God's got this, it's under His sovereign hand, and not focus on the fears and anxieties that this kind of crisis could create. Because you know what, folks? You are what you think. That's what cognitive therapists have taught us for a long period of time. You are what you think. Or let me put it in a different way, a way that my mother put it, garbage in, garbage out. My guess is many of you who had great moms told you that if you put garbage in your mind by what you watch and what you think, that's what's going to ultimately come out. So make sure you're putting thoughts of hope and faith and love and service and care and giving into your mind, because those then are the feelings that you will feel. Here's the way behavior happens. You have a thought. The thought causes feelings. And then you act on your feelings. And what too many people today have tried to do is to solve behavioral problems by simply conquering their feelings. That doesn't solve anything. That's the whack-a-mole at the beach. You're just whacking down the feeling, but it will ultimately come back again. If you want to change your feelings, change your thought life, change what you put into your mind, change what goes into your head. When you change your thought life, that changes your feelings, which then changes your behavior. So what I've tried to do over the last several weeks with this book, which is 12 ways to change the way you think, which can then solve anxiety, I've tried to present different ideas to you in order to conquer those particular feelings that you have that are anxious. Ed Billick, my producer, joins me as well. Ed, did you know that over the last 4 weeks that anxiety medications have increased 34%, that people are turning to their meds? And I'm not an anti-med kind of guy, but if you turn to meds without first turning to your thought life, you're not really solving the problem.
That is amazing. With being quarantined at home and sheltering in place and staying with those that you love, and relationships get strained, and the unknowns of where we're going, and the unknowns for, is there a solution to this? So, you know, in the first segment here, I want to first take a pause. The money your church has donated, give us an update on that.
Yeah, because we have a low overhead, we're meeting in a middle school gym, and we don't have a lot of the costs of buildings that other people have. We've been able to give away $1 million to feed the hungry. And over the last 2 weeks, we understand that we have been able to feed over 50,000 people in our area. And Ed, the problem of poverty existed before the COVID-19 crisis in this area. It's only now exacerbated, even on steroids. And the people who need this often are people who have transportation issues anyway. They can't get on a bus and go to one of the feeding centers. So what we're doing is working with King's Kitchen and West Boulevard Ministries and Christ Resurrection Church in a Better World, as some of those organizations which are closer to those hungry people. And they're actually getting the meals and taking it to those folks, again, because they can't get on a bus and go to a feeding center. They don't have the ability nor the prices, the money to be able to do so.
And you know, so it's, they say, hoots and salutes to all the church members for those that have donated. And it's just a good feeling where that money's going.
Yeah, and there are other churches doing a lot of wonderful things as well. We're just fortunate to be in a situation where we can give this $1 million away. And we want to continue to be generous. We may even give more than that because we know this need's not going to go away anytime soon. It's going to last for some time now. And so we've got to be on top of it. We've got to be concerned. And we have learned, too, that the people who are most vulnerable are those in the rural areas, in Gaston County, Cabarrus County, Mecklenburg as well, those in those rural areas who are isolated. And Ed, what we've discovered as well, that not only are they perishing because of the COVID-19 crisis, they're perishing because of starvation.
You know, when we come back from the break, you were sharing some good news. You had a discussion with a doctor friend of yours yesterday.
Wonderful news that he feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel with something scientifically that has just been discovered. And I'll tell people what he had to say and also look at this very interesting word, quarantine, from a biblical perspective. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
Of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. And you know, folks, you've got a choice. Either you can focus on the problem, or you can focus on the Father. You can focus on the COVID-19 crisis and all of the problems it's bringing, or you can focus on the good, good Father. And the essence of faith is the belief that God's even in control of this. This world's terribly fallen, terribly broken. It's not working the way it's supposed to work. And yet God still oversees this world as a loving good father, and he promises to still care for it. In fact, I heard some news that I wanted to share in case you haven't heard it. There is a breakthrough in the COVID-19 crisis, medically, scientifically. Remdesivir, this drug that has been discovered, has been proven to help older people with pulmonary problems, breathing problems, to be able to get well quicker. Not all of them, but a good number of them proved that they got well quicker. And my doctor friend, who is on the front lines of this COVID-19 crisis, said to me, David, it's the first sign of hope in the medical community we've had. He even used the term, this is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I think that's awfully good news, because here's my belief, folks. When you see God do something once, you can sit back and go, you know what, Lord, if you did it once, you can do it again. And I think this is the first light at the end of the tunnel that says to us, it's not a train coming toward us. There really is an end to this crisis. My dad used to say all the time that his favorite verse in the Bible was, and it came to pass. Folks, this will pass. We will make it through it together. We will get to the other side. And the key is focusing on faith, focusing on the good, good Father who works constantly through this broken world to give us hope. So please, as my doctor friend said, it's the first light at the end of the tunnel they can see. It's the first sign of hope. Let's continue to focus on hope and not the brokenness of our world. Let's continue to focus on love and loving one another rather than hatred and getting after one another. Let's believe that God is good. He's a good, good Father, and we can get through this together. And I pray this simple prayer right now. Father, in Jesus' name, that's my faith perspective, please give us a cure. You said, Jesus, that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. And I know there are hundreds and thousands of listeners right now listening to this program. We agree together in prayer, in the power of faith, that you will bring a total healing to this COVID-19 problem. And we will return to normalcy again, and you will continue to make your plans known and us serve you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So I keep praying that, folks. If God did it once, he can do it again, and we'll keep moving forward. Ed Billick, my producer, joins me with an open mic. And Ed, I've got some interesting information on the word quarantine from a biblical perspective. Have you ever read this before?
No, let's hear it.
Okay, here you go. It is absolutely fascinating. World quarantine. The Latin root of the word quarantine is 40. So, what does the Bible have to say about 40? Well, the flood lasted 40 days. For 40 years, Moses fled to Egypt. For 40 days, Moses stayed on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. The Exodus lasted 40 years. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Okay, Ed, you come from a Catholic perspective. Lent lasts how long?
40 days.
40 days. There you go. And a group of theologians thinks the number 40 represents change. It is the time of preparing a person or a people or a nation or a world to make fundamental changes in the way they live. Something will happen, I believe, after these 40 days of quarantine. Just believe, folks, and pray with me. Remember, whenever the number 40 appears in the Bible, there is a change that's ready to come. Please know that during this quarantine, rivers are cleaning up, vegetation is growing, the air is becoming cleaner because of less pollution. There is less theft and murder. Healing is happening. And most importantly, people are returning to faith, especially in Jesus Christ. They're getting tired of focusing on fear. They know it's a deadly emotion. They're choosing now to focus on faith and to believe that the God who created this world is in control of this world and that Jesus loves them deeply. The earth is at rest for the first time in many, many years, and many hearts are being truly transformed by the power of God's grace in Jesus. So, during this time, enjoy it with your loved ones and return to the family altar together. Family prayer is a great blessing. Ed, I know you said your grandson has come over, and what a joy it is to see him and have those special times with him that you just don't have when life is so hectic and chaotic. Through prayer, you will see the changes God can work in and through you, especially in your home. Christ promises us that everything works together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That's the promise of Romans 8:28. Remember, we are in the year 2020, and 20 plus 20 equals, come on, Ed.
Yeah, 40.
40. Also, 2020 is the year of the United States Census. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was born during a census. Lastly, 2020 is perfect vision. When you go to the eye doctor and he measures your sight,
hopefully you have 2020.
He looks for 2020 vision. Here's a prayer. May our sight focus on the Lord and living according to His perfect vision for us, knowing He holds us in the palm of His hand. This COVID-19 crisis did not catch Him by surprise. He's not sitting on His throne in heaven, pulling out His eternal hair, going, oh no, I didn't know that was going to happen. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as the corona crisis, corona means crown because there's a little crown that looks like it comes out of the tiny germ. We know that the crown is truly worn by Jesus Himself. May these days of quarantine bring spiritual liberation to our souls, our nation, and our world. Dear friends, the best is yet to come. Trust in the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who controls everything in the world.
That is beautiful. You know, it's all occurring during the Easter season, during the resurrection season. And, you know, and of course, Moments of Hope Church, you can watch the services online. What I've been doing is going to the different Catholic churches that I used to attend in my Frito-Lay days and watching masses at different places across the country. So, yeah, you're not with community, you're not with Eucharist or your folks in the church environment, but there's many ways to celebrate a Sunday and celebrate the resurrection.
Well, you know, there's not one pastor or priest who has all the information needed to help people get through this crisis, Ed. And I know some people who go and listen maybe to me or listen like you're doing to several different priests or who go to other pastors of other churches, and they get insights from A to B to C to D, and then they accumulate those different aspects of faith, and they all give a person an insight that helps build their hope to walk through this particular crisis.
Absolutely. Good stuff, David.
We have this 40 days to quarantine, and at least until May the 8th, we're going to be with our families and friends and just trying to do the best we can. And let me remind all our listeners that this device that all of us have, either a computer or a cell phone, technologically a wonderful thing. Just be careful about how much time you spend in front of the screen absorbing all of this information. You know, one of the major reasons for anxiety in our world today before the COVID-19 crisis was the amount of time we would spend watching different streams of information coming into our mind. And with all that information coming to us, we are negative in our views of the world. So quit looking at all the information coming to your screen. Quit looking at all the criticisms of the different politicians that are out there. Quit letting your anger be exacerbated. And use your screen to contact somebody who's in need. You know, go through your contact list and go through them and make a text to everybody and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Or reach out to a few people you know who are going through a really difficult time. Call them and say, let's pray together. How are you doing? Build those bridges from your heart to other people. This is a magnificent time to be able to use the quarantine to care for others, even though you're inside your home. With this cell phone and other technologies, you can stay in constant contact with people, encouraging them, praying for them, building them up, serving them. And isn't that what life's all about, Ed?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And for a lot of us guys that are sports fans, we don't have the Major League Baseball follow, or like this weekend would have been the Wells Fargo Championship. That time is now given to us to do other things.
And maybe spend some time with your kids if you've got kids at home. I mean, you've been so busy, dads and your jobs, mom and your work, that you've not developed those relationships with your kids. Spend some time with your children and spend some time husband and wife with one another. Yeah, you may find out you've got some difficulties that you didn't realize
pack
were there
your
before.
Patience, pack your patience.
And go to one another and care for one another, love one another, and use this as a time to build upon your marriage. You know, you fell in love for a reason. You got married for a reason. So find those reasons, rebuild those reasons, and build upon those reasons so that out of this quarantine will come a stronger marriage, a stronger family, a stronger faith, and a stronger reality of I'm called to care for other people. That's how these days can be used for good. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. I just believe my God's bigger than the COVID-19 crisis. That's just the bottom line. My faith focuses on my God and not on the problem. I believe that the Scripture gives us possibilities, not impossibilities, through God our Lord. And I just believe as we focus on faith, we can get through this crisis together, loving God, loving one another. And on the other side of this, folks, we'll be stronger and better because of it. I really believe that. And if you'd like to hear this program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear this program from beginning to end. And if you didn't hear the whole thing on the 40 number, biblically, the word quarantine in the last segment, you need to hear that. It's awfully good stuff.
Also, folks, if you're just in the car or you're out running around or more likely at the house, this show will air again at noon here on News Talk 1110 WBT. It's an encore presentation. So if you missed it or you heard parts of it, tell your family, tell your friends, turn it back on at noon. But it's also podcasts, and that's another way to connect with the David Chadwick Show.
Well, I'm honored that WBT would repeat the program, Ed. They want to help folks develop that faith perspective during this COVID-19 crisis, and I'm, again, honored that WBT would do that. Many thanks. Also, next week, I want to go ahead and plug this, Mother's Day. Can you believe that? is next week, and my wife Marilyn is going to join me in the Mother's Day program. We're going to talk about a chapter in the book that I recently wrote. The book's entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety. It came out just last week. Amazingly, I wrote it 2 years ago because anxiety was the major problem so many people are experiencing. But I wanted to do a special Mother's Day program on one of the chapters in the book, that faith is more caught than taught. And we want to talk to all of you out there about developing faith in the heart of your children by the way that you handle anxiety, by the way that you won't let fear dominate your life. So as a parent, if you have conquered anxiety, you can bet your bottom dollar your children will be able to conquer anxiety as well in watching you do it.
For many of us, for most of us, it was our mothers that helped instill our faith life, that helped instill God in our belief system. You know, both parents, of course. But in my case, it was definitely my mother more so than my father.
And you just recently lost your mom.
Yeah, this is the first Mother's Day that's in my entire life that I won't have a mother to thank, but then I have my wife as a mother of our children. Mm. So,
well, I just believe that in that Hebrews 12, that we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses who are encouraging us to keep running the race to the finish line with endurance and to set aside all those things that encumber us, like anxieties and fears. I really believe those cloud of witnesses are the great saints of Hebrews 12, you know, the Moseses, the Gideons, the Isaiahs, all those people who live by faith in chapter 11. But they're also, I think, the angels of heaven who are cheering us on. But I think finally, Ed, there's a cloud of witnesses of our loved ones who've gone on before us. So I think your mama's cheering you on every single day going, Ed, finish strong.
And your parents as well, especially your dad. You're always quoting him as well.
He was my mentor. He taught me about life, and my mama was just the sweetest, most genteel Southern belle you could possibly imagine. And they loved each other, and they loved me, and I'll never forget my dad said to me, the greatest gift you can give your children is to love their mother.
You know, I had a dream the other night, and it's been about 2 months since she passed, and she was in a wheelchair for the last 2.5-3 years, a walker before that. So I see her dream, and she's walking around the house, and she's walking. I go, Mom, where's the wheelchair? Well, what's going on? She goes, I don't need a wheelchair in my new life.
Oh, my. And you know she doesn't.
No, and she doesn't.
And people ask me, how old will we be in heaven? I don't know. But, you know, Jesus was crucified at 33. I've always wondered if that's going to be kind of the age everybody is in heaven.
I don't think age would matter.
Yeah, it probably doesn't. That's probably a silly thing to say. But I do wonder that the truth is we'll be able to recognize one another in heaven, just like the disciples were able to recognize Jesus' resurrection body. Eventually, I think we'll be able to know our loved ones in heaven as well, whatever age we may be, and we'll be reunited in that love.
When we do the David Chadwick show up there, we'll all be able to see all of our listeners.
Well, I hope that everyone enjoys these programs because, you know, Ed, you and I both want to give people faith today. That's just the heartbeat of our lives. We want to give people faith because we know anxiety can corrode the soul, and we just want people to live by faith. In fact, interestingly, anxiety was a huge problem before the COVID-19 crisis ever hit. When I wrote the book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, that was released this past week, and by the way, folks, if you'd like to get it, go to Amazon.com or any of the .com bookstores. You can get it that way. Again, Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. My whole idea was to deal with the problem of anxiety, which was the chief emotional problem people were experiencing 2 years ago. In fact, it was the major cause of teen suicide. It was the major cause of people's depressions and discouragements. So in the book, I went through some of the major reasons for anxiety being in our lives today, one of them being rapid change. And how rapidly our lives have changed with this COVID-19 crisis. But, you know, with the ability to receive information immediately from all over the world, our lives change dramatically and quickly. It causes anxiety. There's also loss. You know, people just go through constant loss. They lose loved ones. They lose jobs. They lose bank accounts. That loss causes a great fear that I'm going to lose everything and causes anxiety to increase in our lives. Here's another one, nature's disasters. You know, here in North Carolina, we've lived almost every summer over the last several summers with 1, 2, 3 hurricanes blowing through here. Over the last several weeks, we've had tornadoes that have come through here, rainstorms, all kinds of flooding. And those, I think they're unnatural disasters because I don't think God ever intended them to exist in his world. They're part of the fall. But those natural disasters cause people's hearts to be consumed with fear. There's also wars and rumors of wars. People hear of a new war outbreaking someplace in the world. There have been more wars fought in the 20th century than all the previous centuries combined. So we hear of another war breaking out, and we wonder, when might somebody push the lever? When might somebody cause the nuclear option to really occur? There are also all the negative medical diagnoses. Before the COVID-19 problem ever occurred, we had people dealing with heart disease, cancer problems, going to the doctor and hoping not to hear one of those major medical reports that causes our hearts to spin downward. Then there's the fear of failure. People don't want to fail. And when they fail, they feel like their lives are meaningless and they are complete failures. There's the fear of rejection. When people get rejected by someone or something, a person or a job or whatever, they live their lives with what's called the acid rain of rejection.
And for young folks and even adults, fear of missing out. Yeah. That is constantly propagated, is the word, on social media.
Well, social media causes two emotions. Either causes pride or envy. You're either prideful, I've got it better than all the people on social media I'm following, or you're envious that you don't have it as good. And both of those emotions are negative, Ed.
Which then causes anxiety of trying to keep up.
Exactly. And you do what my dad used to call the snare to compare. You compare your insides with somebody else's outsides. Again, it can only cause pride or envy, and as a result, your life will spiral downward in negative emotions, principally the negative emotion of anxiety, which leads to another reason that anxiety existed. It is not having blank. You know, we all say to ourselves, if I only had blank, then I'd be happy. But the truth is, you finally get blank, and you're still unhappy. You look for something else in your life to give you meaning. It just is a spiraling downward of your emotions when you think you're comparing yourself with other people. I've got to have blank in order to be happy. Or how about the political divisions, Ed? You and I talk about that a lot, on air and off air. The political divisions are like nothing I've ever seen before.
Yeah, and what should you believe, and what should you hang your hat on? And then, oh, by the way, you may hear something and then, okay, that's the way it is. Well, you need to listen to both points of view. You need to understand and then decide. But how much are you going to really want to be consumed with that?
Yeah, and the politicians themselves use crises like this coronavirus to create fear, to get people on their side, and to blame the president for the problem, or others to blame other people for the problem. That division widens, and what increases? Anxiety.
And then you mentioned it earlier with this isolation, increase of use of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, 34% increase in anxiety meds over the last month since this crisis hit. And again, I'm not against meds, but I think what they do is they cover up the real problem. The real problem is the emotion of anxiety that's being fed by a thought life that does not focus on faith but focuses on the problem. And if you focus on the size of the mountain, your anxiety will increase. If you focus on the size of your God and believe in Him, your anxiety will shrink. It really is that simple. Jesus chided His disciples when He said in Matthew 6, "Don't be anxious about anything, O you of little faith." He wants us to have a great, huge faith.
David, you've been really depressing us here with this list. It's a life that a lot of people lead.
Ed, those are the problems, but let me tell you the solution. The solution is a great, big, huge God who oversees all of these circumstances. They're not bigger than He is. He controls everything. He sits on the throne. If your mind focuses on those problems, and especially now the coronavirus problem, your mind will be consumed with anxiety. If you focus your mind on faith, on the size of your God, on other people, serving other people, giving, caring, sharing, your anxiety will shrink. It's that simple. You are what you think. That's the message of the book, Moving Beyond Anxiety. It's my joy to share that reality with you all. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
We are many, yet we are one. We are separate yet bound in His love, and together we are all His hands and His feet, bringing mercy and peace to this world. We are many and one.
Hi everyone, I'm David Chadwick and this is News Talk 1110 99.3. I hope all of you believe what's just been sung to you. that we are many, but we're one. We will make it through this crisis together. We really will. And on the other side of it, we'll be better because of it. And we are the hands and feet of our God. We are the body of Christ. We are Jesus' living touch to those who are in need. What an opportunity during this time to jump outside our own selfishness and to give our lives away. For folks, you find yourself when you lose yourself in something greater than yourself. When you give your life away, there is where true faith is found. It's where meaning is found. And if you'll begin to do that, you will have purpose even in a crisis like the coronavirus crisis. God is good. Keep focusing on that. And even though the problems surrounding us are huge, even though we still don't have this problem of the COVID-19 crisis solved, we still have a God who sits on his throne. And my challenge to all of you that I outline in my book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, that you can get online, Amazon, wherever, please. It's not expensive. It's just a simple way to have 12 practical strategies to renew your mind. As you focus on your thought life, as you believe you are what you think, as you know that whatever you put in your mind will eventually come out emotionally, put thoughts of faith in your life. Well, what is faith? Well, the only definition of faith in the Bible is Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Now, we don't see God, but yet we know he exists. We look in his universe. We see creation. We know that he exists. Though we can't see him, we feel love. A great question for all of you skeptics out there is, if God doesn't exist, where did love come from? Where did the deep emotion of love toward your spouse, your children, your deep friends, the ability even to love an enemy, where does that come from? It's got to come from a God who created this world out of love. And he wants this world to not live in its brokenness, its selfishness, its strife. He wants us to live in love. So if faith is the evidence of things not seen, our faith focuses on the invisible God who controls this world. I've had skeptic friends say to me before, oh, your God's just a crutch. Your invisible genie in the sky is just a crutch you lean on to get through life. And you know what I say? You're absolutely correct. I believe in a great God who loves me dearly, and I lean on him daily to make it through this world and this life in all of its trials and turmoils that we face. Yes, God is good, and I lean on him. Focus on faith, folks. Don't look at the size of your problems. Look at the size of your God. Don't look at the size of your mountains. Look at the size of the promises of your God. And when you look at the possibilities and the promises, and you let your mind dwell on them, and you ingest those beautiful promises in the Scripture, you even memorize them, you can speak them to the feelings of anxiety and fear that enter your heart. You spear them in 2 Corinthians 10:5 language, where Paul said, don't let any thought come into your mind that's negative. Spear it. Take it captive. You then usher it out of your mind and replace it with good, positive thoughts. One of those being, like we've already talked about in this program, use thanksgiving thoughts as regular ways to combat anxiety. The moment an anxious thought enters your mind, spear it, usher it out, and replace it with something for which you're thankful. Something. Everybody's got something. We are too blessed to be stressed. We have so many gifts that God has given us. Develop an attitude of gratitude. You are what you think. Whatever you put in your mind is what will come out. Garbage in, garbage out. Spear those negative thoughts and replace them with thoughts of blessing, hope, and thanksgiving. And when you do, you have trained your brain. You have exercised the one thing you can do. You've chosen to focus on faith and not fear. That's where that old phrase comes from. Fear knocked on the door of my heart. I sent faith to answer it. Faith opened the door and fear was gone. Fear cannot stand in the shadow of faith. It just can't. The way you defeat anxiety is through faith. Jesus said so. Matthew 6:25, Do not be anxious about anything on this side of eternity, but trust Him. Look at creation. Look at the way He cares for the birds, the flowers, this world. And if He cares for this world, here is the argument, a fortiori argument from the lesser to the greater. If He cares for the birds and the lilies and all the things of the lesser order in creation, how much more does He care for you, the crown of His creation? Dear friends, once again, as Jesus chided His disciples and said, "Oh, you of little faith, develop great faith. Believe in the bigness, how huge your God is. And when you do, and you focus on Him and His love for you, His care for you, and especially serving others, your faith will overcome your anxiety." That is the promise of God's Word. I think it'd be appropriate now to end this show, as I have the last several weeks, in prayer. I do believe Jesus was right when He said, "Where two or three are gathered, there I am with power." We have thousands of listeners. Would you all join me in prayer right now as we pray for all of us during this crisis? Dear Father, the one I know personally as Jesus my Lord, I pray in His name. There's something really powerful, Jesus, You said when we pray in Your name. It is the name above all names, the name that every knee shall bow and tongue confess that You are Lord. So I pray, Lord Jesus, in Your name right now. And I ask that every listener would pray with me that as there was a breakthrough this week with a drug, do something else. Bring in something more. As one of my doctor friends said, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Lord, make it a bigger light. Give us more hope. Expand our belief that You're doing something magnificent in all of this, and You will give us a cure. Lord Jesus, I pray that You'd be with every listener out there, that You would keep them safe from the coronavirus. If by chance anyone has contracted it, I pray for healing in Jesus' name. No matter what age you may be, young or old, that you will be healed in Jesus' name. I pray for the power of God to come upon you, and your mind will focus on the greatness of who God is and not the size of this problem. Father, I ask that marriages be strengthened. I pray that families be made stronger. I pray that relationships between husband and wife, between parents and children to parents will grow and deepen, and that at some point in the years to come, they'll look back and say, "Remember that quarantine back in 2020 when we were forced to be together and how deeply our lives grew toward one another." Father, in Jesus' name I pray that You would be with this city, that we would have jobs restored soon. I pray that those who maybe have lost jobs will find them soon, and they will be able to be restored to the place where they once were financially in every way. I pray this, Lord, because You are a great God who loves us deeply and dearly. I pray that You'll take care of us. I pray that we would develop our faith in such a strong way that we would see our primary objective in loving You, but also loving our neighbor. And we would care for those around us in prayer and in service, believing that You are the great God of the universe who's called us to love You and love our neighbors above everything else. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of doing this program, for the privilege of prayer. Be with us all. Give us healing. Grant us a solution to this problem. Again, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Talk with you all next week.